We're going to be in Acts chapter 20, looking at one verse, verse 35. Acts 20, 35. This is often called the neglected beatitude because you don't find it in any of the four Gospels where Jesus said this. But it's shared with us in the book of Acts when Paul said, I've showed you all things, and so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So in that one statement, Jesus summarizes really everything the Bible has to say about the subject of giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I hope you know that's true by experience, that you have learned what a blessing it is to give. Pastors are hesitant to speak on giving because it tends to upset some people. But folks, Christianity is all about giving. It's all about giving. Giving is really the heart of the Christian faith. Our blessed God is a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his best, didn't he? He gave his best. He gave his only begotten Son that we might be saved. So I wanted to deal with this once more tonight because we are in our Faith Promise Missions Month, receiving cards, and we've asked you to turn in a card indicating what you'd be willing to give each month for our missionaries, which will start in September. September begins a new church year. As you know, last year we had 70 cards turned in, pledging to give over $11,000 per month for missions. That allowed us to support 70 mission fields. That was a total of $132,108 pledged for the year, for the 2021-2022 year. By the way, not counting this month, in 11 months we've already surpassed that. Of the 132 pledged, we've already received 154,000 plus. So you're giving more than you pledged. Good for you. Makes me proud to be your pastor. Amen. This morning, we had 26 cards turned in, totaling $5,430. So that gives us 54 total cards, a little over $10,000 per month pledged. So we're right at where we were last year, just about $100 off. And we still got another Sunday. I think we'll probably get some more cards turned in before it's over, and we'll surpass what we did last year. And I want to thank you for your willingness to give extra to support missionaries. Folks, I think giving is the secret to a happy life. If you want to be happy, you need to learn the grace of giving. Now, our human nature says it's more blessed to receive than to give. And we all like to receive things, don't we? There's nothing wrong with that. You can be thankful and grateful for the gifts that you receive. But many seem to think that is through material wealth that we can find happiness. But folks, the real blessing is in giving. It's in giving of what God has given you, sharing that with others. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a publican, a tax collector, and he heard Jesus and he got saved, didn't he? And one of the evidences that he was really converted was his attitude towards wealth was transformed. After he got saved, he said he was going to give half of his wealth to the poor. And if he had cheated anybody, he would repay them fivefold. That's a good sign of being saved, isn't it? when salvation will do that to you. He went from being a taker to being a giver. I heard about a man who was climbing a snow-capped mountain. He became very cold and numb. And he came across another climber who had collapsed, was almost dead from exposure. So he began to work on this man to revive him, rubbing him and moving him around, trying to warm him up. And the man eventually began to warm, and his life was spared. But in the process, the rescuer became warmer and stronger through the activity of trying to save the other man. So in a sense, he saved himself, as well as saving another in giving to help someone. I think that's so true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Believe it. Practice it. It'll change your life. As we think about this, we think about what we should give. First of all, if you want to take notes, we should give ourselves to the Lord. That's where we start, isn't it? Giving self to Christ. The Macedonian believers did that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, Paul said, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." So he's talking about the Macedonians. Although they were kind of poor, they didn't have a whole lot, they were so generous in their giving. But he said, first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. Now, you know, that's a key. If you give yourself to the Lord, whatever you own is automatically going to go to the Lord. Right? If he has you, he's going to have everything you have. Is that not right? Do like his. That's right. If you don't believe me, try it. This they did. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. I heard about a little boy who in Sunday school heard a lesson on the importance of giving oneself to God. The teacher was teaching them this passage, 2 Corinthians 8, 5. And later on, during the worship service, they were passing the offering plate. He was sitting at the end of the pew, and when the offering plate got to him, he looked at it. He placed it on the floor and stood on it, saying, "I'm giving myself." He learned a lesson, didn't he? I'm giving myself to the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. The first gift we ever give to God is ourselves. God says, "I seek not yours, but you. I want you. Give me your heart." And that's where we begin. Lost friend, Jesus is not after your money. He's after your heart. He wants you to give him your heart. Give him your soul, like the Macedonians did. They gave themselves to the Lord. Then gave themselves, Paul said, unto us by the will of God. They gave themselves to the Lord. Then they gave themselves to God's people, to God's church. So we give ourselves. We do that in many ways, don't we? There's many ways in which we can give ourselves. Our giving can affect many lives. I think you might be surprised when you get to heaven to find out how many lives you touched through your giving. Not just giving your money, but giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your abilities. Especially when it comes to mission work. We read about these missionaries, and I put a picture. Brother Ginn this summer had a youth camp. 42 young people got saved. And I just thrilled. I wanted to put that up there for everybody to see. Because our money is helping that happen. Us giving to that work in India allows them to have youth camps to share the gospel. And those 42 young people that got saved, does that go on our account? I think to some effect it does. And we're going to probably meet those young people someday who were saved because we were willing to give and support a missionary in India. So giving self to the Lord Jesus Christ, and giving self to the church. What's the greatest need of the church? Is it more money? You know, it's not more money. It's not even more members. It's better members. Nobody said amen to that. The church needs better members. Because not all of our members are really involved in ministry and giving of themselves as they ought to be. Some are not as faithful as they ought to be in their attendance. Some do not read the Bible like they should. Some do not pray like they should. Some do not tithe as they should. They don't witness as they should. We need better members instead of a lot more indifferent members. I think the great task of every pastor is to find a way to get the members of the church involved in ministry. Every member should be involved in some church ministry. And that's how we minister to one another. That's how we give to one another. Those churches in the first century, they didn't have much in the way of material things, yet they shook the Roman world to its foundations by their faith. The great need of churches today is more people willing to invest their lives in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask, does God have you? Just be honest with yourself. Does God really have you? Are you committed to serving and following the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory where? In the church. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. I think in our present culture, you find a lot of people approach a church with the attitude, what can you offer me? What can you do for me? What will I get out of this? And they come to church judging instead of coming to minister. And some will leave saying, well, I didn't like the Sunday school class. I didn't like those songs Thomas picked out. I didn't like the program. I didn't like the sermon. It's all about what can you do for me. But how often do we leave and we ask ourselves, what did I give? Did I bless anybody today? Did I contribute anything to the service? What did I give today? Not many people think that way, do they? They're only thinking about what they can get out of the church and out of the services. I think we need to change that attitude. What a difference it would make in our churches, in our services. Some of you gave today. Some of you gave by teaching a class. Thank you. We need teachers. Some of you gave by singing in the choir, by playing an instrument, by keeping the nursery or keeping the children's chapel. Some gave as ushers and greeters and monitors. Some of you just by encouraging others, you gave of yourselves. That's what it's about. We come to church to minister one to another and find ways that you can do that. Did you bear a burden for somebody today? Did you help lift a load? Did you offer a prayer? When somebody asks you to pray about them or pray about something, do you ever just offer to pray for them right then? Just so I tell you what, let's do that right now. Let's just bow our heads and I'll pray with you about that matter. We could do that, couldn't we? That's how we minister one another. Give self to the church. The second thing I want you to see is we should give our substance to the church. There's two thoughts. First, there's a definite period involved here in giving our tithes and offerings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings, no collections when I come. Don't wait until I come to start taking up offerings. Go ahead and receive offerings. He's talking about a special offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. He's taking up offerings among the Gentile churches to take back to help the suffering, persecuted people who are in Jerusalem. So he said, upon the first day of the week, when you come together in church capacity, then give. There's a definite period involved here. The first day of the week, when we come to God's house, part of our worship is giving. We worship through praying. We worship through singing. We worship through preaching. But we also worship through giving. We take up the offering. That's part of worship. And first give yourself. And if you'll do that, you won't want to withhold anything else from the Lord. You'll cheerfully give your tithes and offerings to support the cause of Christ and His church. One boy had heard a lesson on stewardship. And at the end of the class, the teacher asked him if he could define stewardship. She wanted to see how well she taught the class. She said, "Can you define stewardship?" Here was his answer. He said, "Stewardship is like a great ship loaded with rich cargo of many things going to many places to many people. God is the owner of the ship. I'm the captain. It's up to me to guide it to the right places." I like that. God owns it. We're just the captain. And we need to be careful that what God places into our care, we make sure that it goes somewhere that can be a blessing to others. God owns everything. We're just stewards. But we're responsible for how well we take care of what belongs to God. So we give our tithes and offerings. There's to be a systematic, regular, consistent bringing of our substance to give to the Lord in time of worship. So there's a definite period, and secondly, there's a definite place. In the Old Testament, the storehouse was the temple. In the New Testament, it's the local church. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. In the Old Testament, it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, that's a promise. Well, you say, that's a promise to Israel. I think it applies today. I think we're still to bring our tithes and offerings. We don't bring it to the temple. We bring it to the local church. It's given in the church where you're being fed. Amen? In that church where you're being fed the Word of God, where you're being ministered to, you need to support that church with your financial assistance. So we do that. We got to pay the bills. You get a financial report. There's one out there right now. You can see how much money's coming in, what we're doing with that money. We don't do that behind closed doors. We let you know so you can be aware of how we're handling the money that's coming in. But it takes money to operate a church. It takes money to carry out the Great Commission. So every Sunday morning, as part of the worship service, we receive an offering. As I said, giving is an act of worship. The Israelites would go to the temple, and there they would worship, they would offer their sacrifices, and they would give their tithes to the Lord. When you give an offering, you're saying, "Lord, this is an expression of my worship to you. This is an expression of my gratitude for your blessings. How much you mean to me." It's expressed in your giving. Yeah, I think it's really a good practice to give an offering every Sunday. Now, I know some say, "Well, I only give one. I give a tithe, but I give it once a month." I really think it's better to have something to give every Sunday when the offering plate is passed as part of worship. And we don't just sing one song for the month. Say, "Well, that's my song for the month." Or we don't just do one prayer for the month. So maybe we ought to think about every time that offering plate's passed, we should have something to put in it. You can divide up your tithes weekly, and every Sunday you worship through giving. Just a thought. Think about it. But regular giving, you know, it kind of has a way of choking the channels of selfishness and covetousness in our lives. Human nature tends to be selfish. We got to stay on top of that, don't we? That it does not overcome us. I think one of the most important things I can do as a pastor is to help you see what the scriptures say about giving, about stewardship, how to handle your finances. Now, I'm not a financial expert, but I do know what the Bible has to say about giving and what it says about stewardship. And pastors need to preach on this because you need to know what the scriptures say. You know, you'd be amazed. How many of the parables of Christ deal with giving, deal with stewardship? Evidently, he thought it was important because he spoke on it several times. So you need to make a budget. And at the very top of your budget, you need to put the Lord's tithes and offerings. The Bible calls that the first fruits. The first fruits. Don't give him the leftovers. He should be top of your priority list in your giving. He said, let every one of you, let every believer give as the Bible instructs. It's astonishing to me to hear of church members who don't give because they're only robbing themselves. When you don't give, you're robbing yourself of blessings. God cannot bless those who rob him of his tithes and offerings. Let every one of you, as God has prospered. God, hey, here in America, we've been prospered. We've been blessed. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be willing to give. Not only 10%, most of us can give more than that. You can give more than that and not even miss it. 10%, that's just the starting place. It's not the ending place, it's the starting place. Start there. And as you grow in your walk with the Lord, you'll find that you can do more than that. You'll want to do more than that. Betty and I have learned that this is right. Betty and I, we've learned that it's more blessed to give than to receive. We practice this. We have tithed throughout our marriage of some 47 years. And God has always provided our needs. I just want to tell you that as your pastor, I know what I'm speaking of. God has blessed us. We not only tithe, we give extra to missions. We've been greatly blessed. Say amen, Betty. Okay. And that came from her heart, too, I tell you. Amen. Testify, sister. Here's a third thought. We should give our story of the Lord. We should give our story. If you look at Acts chapter 20, go back to verses 18 through 21. Notice something here. Paul made a statement about telling the story of Jesus. He said, and when they, as talking about the Ephesian elders, when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but showed you and have taught publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, I've told this story often. You know I have. I've gone house to house sharing the gospel story. Folks, listen, we have a story to tell. Amen? We have something very important to share with people we meet day by day. It's a simple story of how God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Born of a virgin, laid in a manger, grew up in a poor family, lived a sinless life, yet was rejected by men and nailed to a cross, where He died as the blood atonement for our sins. On that cross, He paid our sin debt. But on the third day, He came out of that grave. And He's alive forevermore. He now sits at the right hand of the throne of God and will one day return to catch us home to establish His kingdom here on earth. That's the greatest story ever told. So, Brother West, everybody knows that. You'd be surprised. I've shared the gospel with people, and I've had them say, "Preacher, that's the first time. That's the first time anybody's ever shared that with me." Now, you think everybody knows the story, but they don't. Especially in our day and time. We got a generation growing up today that's never set foot in the church. Absolutely, never set foot in the church. Don't intend to. Those who claim to be atheists is growing year by year. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting the Bible. They don't know this gospel story. But I think if we would share it with them, some of them would believe and get saved. Our Gideons, we're talking about the prison ministry. A 65-year-old man was led to the Lord by our Gideons. And been on this earth 65 years. Heard the gospel and he said, "I need that." He said, "I need that." You might be surprised how many people out there would respond the same way if we would just share the gospel story with them. It's the greatest story ever told. Yet it's so simple, even children can understand it. These small children can understand what's involved here in Christ dying on the cross for their sins. Are you telling the story? How often do you tell the story? Is it not a stirring story? I don't think there's any story that can stir the hearts of people more than the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. It causes homes to be changed. It causes lives to be transformed. It causes broken families to be put back together. It causes shackles of sin to be broken. Sinful habits to be taken. That's how powerful this story is. And many of you can testify to that. It's not only a stirring story, it's a saving story. A saving story. Anyone who hears it and believes and acts upon it will be saved. Whosoever will may come and drink of the living water and receive everlasting life. Amen. The Philippian jailer asked Paul, Acts 16:30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And they got saved. They heard the story, and they believed it to their salvation. Are you telling the story? Can I challenge you this week to look for an opportunity to share this story with somebody? Would you do that? I heard about a boy who came to church on the church bus. His daddy was an unbeliever. And he really didn't want his boy going to church. Told him not to. But the boy would sneak out and go to church. Kept going. One Sunday, he went to church. He heard the gospel. He was under conviction to be saved. He walked the aisle, went forward to give his life to the Lord Jesus. They prayed with him and he accepted Christ as a Savior. And as he is leaving, his daddy was waiting for him to punish him. Little boy said, "It's too late, Daddy. I've already gotten saved." Amen. The devil wants you to put it off. Devil wants to keep you from getting saved. But I hope somebody can say, "It's too late, devil. I've already been saved." Nothing you can do about it. Folks, there's just something about this story. It means more to us when we give it away than any other time. When we can share the gospel and see somebody come to know Christ as Savior. See somebody get saved. That's special. We sing that song, I Love to Tell the Story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat. I love to tell the story for those who have never heard the story of salvation. Now we can sing it, but do we mean it? Do we love to tell the story? If we do, we'll tell it. We'll look for opportunities every day to share the gospel with someone else. So let me ask you, when's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? When's the last time? Were you determined to do that this week? Is your life a life of giving? Can you say what Jesus said and mean it? That it's more blessed to give than to receive. If you're not saved, I'd like to encourage you, give yourself to the Lord tonight. If you've never done that, do that tonight. Give Him your heart. Give Him your soul. It'll bring such a blessing to your life.